Joe Biden has already drawn comparisons to a former president, and it's not his old boss. Liz Cheney is ousted from her House GOP leadership position, plus an Oklahoma school board freaks out over the ban on teaching critical race theory. All that and more. I'm Bobby Eberle. This is a 13-Minute News Hour.
And God bless the United States of America.
All right, friends, welcome to the show. Happy Wednesday. I hope you're having a great week. If you're new to the show, thank you so much for tuning in. We're going to start with Joe Biden because comparisons are already being made to former presidents. And I'm not talking about a comparison to his old boss, Barack Obama. I'm talking about a comparison to what many consider the worst president in the history of the country, and that's Jimmy Carter. And that's right. Give Joe Biden and his team just a few months and everything is going in the wrong direction. You name it, inflation, jobs, gas prices, the economy, the border, any topic, any issue, they get a hold of it and the results are just stunning. It is so bad, the level of incompetence in the Biden administration. Here's former House Speaker Newt Gingrich on the comparison.
I was a Georgian. I taught at West Georgia College. I knew Jimmy Carter as governor. I ran for Congress while he was president. There are weirdly similar patterns here. You see the economy beginning to stumble a little bit with the jobs numbers coming in about 800,000 below what they thought. You see the beginning of real inflation. You see it compounded by just plain incompetence.
So just right there, we've got the jobs numbers, we've got inflation, and we've got incompetence. And believe me, Newt Gingrich was just getting started. So here, let's take a closer look at the jobs numbers. Here's a report, plus Joe Biden's reaction. Friday was supposed to be a glorious day for Biden. The latest employment numbers were set to be released, and economists were gushing that a million new jobs had likely been created in April by exuberant employers and their newly vaccinated workers. His team no doubt was prepared to unleash Biden to perform a little victory dance at the White House, celebrating the stupendous number. But the show had to be hastily revamped when the actual tally came in nearly 750,000 jobs lower than expected. Just 266,000 jobs created and unemployment unexpectedly rising to 6.1%. It was supposed to be a million jobs, not 266,000. But that didn't stop Joe Biden from saying this.
Quite frankly, we're moving more rapidly than I thought we would. This morning, we learned that our economy created 266,000 jobs in April. It hadn't been adjusted again yet, but that's what it says, 266. And listening to commentators today, as I was getting dressed, you might think that we should be disappointed. But when we passed the American Rescue Plan, I want to remind everybody, it was designed to help us over the course of a year, not 60 days.
Things are moving faster than he thought? Are you kidding me? This report missed the mark by nearly 750,000 jobs. No report has been that far off base in over 20 years. But that's just the jobs. There's all sorts of other issues. Gas prices. There's a full-on gas shortage in some parts of the country. Oh, and did I mention the Middle East? Here's more. By late Monday, more than 1 in 20 gas stations in Virginia was out of fuel. Tuesday, governors throughout the Southeast were declaring states of emergency, and the Biden administration was begging drivers not to hoard gasoline. Meantime, Palestinians had begun violently clashing with Israeli police at the Al-Aqsa Mosque in Jerusalem, an escalation of tensions that had been simmering and occasionally boiling over for weeks. Hamas began launching rocket attacks into Israel, which responded by bombing Gaza. Jobs, inflation, gas prices, Middle East violence. Remember back when President Trump was forging Middle East peace deals? And now look what we have. Oh, and don't forget, don't ever forget what's going on at the border. U.S. Customs and Border Protection revealed Tuesday that migrant encounters jumped yet again this past April. Over 178,000 in all, nearly a tenfold increase from 2020, and still above levels seen in the 2019 surge at the Mexico border. A new poll reminded the president that the border crisis was dragging him down, with only 43% of those surveyed approving of his immigration policy. Here's a question. Who are these 43% that actually think Joe Biden is doing a good job on immigration, doing a good job on the border? It is a mess. It's the worst mess we've seen in decades. He's not doing anything. He hasn't visited the border. His border czar, Kamala Harris, she avoids it like the plague. And that's just a host of issues. There are more. There's Joe Biden's CDC that's taking heat in Congress from the mixed messages it keeps sending out. Issue after issue after issue, this is what we have. So the question for you, let me know in the comments or in the chat, who's worse, Joe Biden or Jimmy Carter? All right, so next let's talk about Liz Cheney. But first, if you're new to the show or haven't subscribed yet, regardless of platform, just search out my name, hit that subscribe button, make sure notifications are turned on. That way you can follow the show and help us grow. All right, so let's talk about Liz Cheney, folks, because just like that, she is gone. She is gone from the House GOP leadership. Today, they had a vote. Kevin McCarthy led a voice vote. They voted her out. And folks, when you look at this, it is really Liz Cheney's own fault. Back in February, the GOP leadership rallied around her. They wanted her gone back then, the rank and file members. But the GOP leadership stood by her. They voted. She retained the position. But there was a condition. The condition was, let's move on. Let's focus on 2022. Let's focus on our message, our strategy. But she couldn't let it go. Her Trump derangement syndrome was so great that it dominated everything. She couldn't get on message. She couldn't be part of the strategy. The writing was on the wall. She had to go. Even today, she had a chance to address the conference before the vote. Here's what she said. We cannot let the former president drag us backward and make us complicit in his efforts to unravel our democracy. Down that path lies our destruction and potentially the destruction of our country. If you want leaders who will enable and spread his destructive lies, I'm not your person. You have plenty of others to choose from. That will be their legacy. So that's how she kicked things off before the vote. And again, the job of the GOP conference chair, her job, the number three GOP position in the House, is to bring people together, to make sure they're on message, to make sure the strategy is being implemented, disseminated out to constituencies. That's the job. But she wouldn't do it. And she even spoke like that before the vote. Now, after the vote, she was back in front of the cameras and she said this.
I will do everything I can to ensure that the former president never again gets anywhere near the Oval Office. We have seen the danger that he continues to provoke with his language. We have seen his lack of commitment and dedication to the Constitution. And I think it's very important that we make sure whomever we elect is somebody who will be faithful to the Constitution.
This is definitely going to be a problem. Her stock is falling fast within the GOP, but as far as the liberal media establishment, she is the darling because she will bash Trump. The other day on CNN, they glossed over the Israeli Hamas situation, barely touched that at all, but devoted 90 minutes to talking about Liz Cheney. She's got an open mic wherever she wants to go, and here's more. It comes down to this. A leader has to put their personal interests and biases aside when they are speaking for the Republican conference, Republican Tom McClintock said Wednesday on C-SPAN. She has always been unwilling to do that. It is about whether our leaders will speak for us or they will attack us, the California Republican said. It is not all that complicated. House Republicans were planning to hold a candidates forum as early as Thursday and vote for a new conference chair as early as Friday. Ms. Stefanik is the only candidate at the moment. That could change. There are concerns among members of the conference over her conservative credentials, including her vote against the 2017 tax cuts and the rush to coordinate her. So there you have it. And by the way, Stefanik currently has a 44% rating over at ACU. The American Conservative Union has a rating system. They rate the votes. They rate the legislators, House members, senators, from 0 to 100% conservative. Her rating, 44%. So we'll see if she makes it. But the real question is, what's going to happen with Liz Cheney? Is she going to make the rounds on the liberal networks, continuing to bash President Trump while we're seeking a unified message for 2022? That's the real question. All right, so next, let's talk about critical race theory, because as more and more parents and conservative leaders are stepping forward and speaking out against this bogus curriculum, left-wing administrators are digging in. They are becoming more and more entrenched. Take this example. An Oklahoma school board is freaking out because of a new law in Oklahoma that bans the teaching of critical race theory. These school board members came out and they called it, get this, racist. Imagine that. And here's the story. The entire Oklahoma City Board of Education denounced a law passed Friday that bans critical race theory in public schools, calling it racist and an insult, numerous sources reported. The eight-member school board said Monday that they worry House Bill 1775 will prevent accurate lessons involving race and history, according to the Oklahoman. Ruth Rialis, a board member, said the law was intended to protect white fragility and that the ban was an insult because the district has a large population of minority students. It's just interesting that throughout my lifetime going to school in the 70s and 80s and watching race relations improve in the 80s, 90s, 2000s, that we didn't need critical race theory. Now, we can't do without it, according to the left. You can't get an accurate representation of what's going on without it. It's just outrageous. And here's more. CRT holds that America is fundamentally racist, yet teaches students to view every social interaction and person in terms of race. Its adherents pursue anti-racism through the end of merit, objective truth, and the adoption of race-based policies. The bill prohibits public schools and universities from teaching that one race or sex is inherently superior to another, or that someone is inherently racist, sexist, or oppressive because of their race or sex. Friends, we can't bring this country together if the left keeps trying to divide us. Division is power. Chaos is power. Hatred is power. Those are the tools of the left, and that is what they are trying to do with this critical race theory. Divide us, not unite us on our common American heritage, our common American culture, our common American ideals. No, they want to divide everybody by race, have classes and groups of victims so that they have someone to attack. It's all about division, folks. It is not about unity. And by the way, if you happen to be in the Houston area this Saturday, please come out to Sugarland Town Square. I'll be speaking at a unity event. I'll be joining Governor Greg Abbott of Texas, along with a host of great speakers. We're going to be speaking out against this racial intolerance, the violence, promoting unity. That's what we need, not the division of the left. So if you're around, please come out and check it out. So next, let's talk about what's going on in Arizona, because this audit, this recount that's going on in Maricopa County is very important, it's very significant, and it has one idea in mind, that with an election so close, let's verify that everything was done correctly so we can get it right the next time around. And here's the story. Ken Bennett, Senate liaison for the recount of Maricopa County ballots and former Arizona Secretary of State, says the election audit is a way to ensure that voters know that their elections had integrity and transparency. We just feel it's important to verify everything that we can verify, the authenticity of the ballots. Were all the envelopes that should have been signed by voters who sent them in signed? Were the ballots mailed back and forth folded? Were all the votes counted on the face of that ballot? Bennett said. We have over 33,000 ballots where the machines didn't count any votes for president, and the difference between the winner and loser was about 10,000. So we want to make sure every vote was counted correctly and that all the other things are in order. So here's the important thing to remember, folks. This isn't just a ballot recount. It's a full-on audit looking at everything. And that's what should be done. Any major endeavor, any event, any activity should have a debrief after it, learning what went right, what went wrong, so the corrections can be made and it's better, more secure, more transparent the next time around. And here's more. The counters are counting on the floor every day. There's 2 5-hour shifts, but they're also evaluating the ballots. Make sure the indentations made when people filled the ovals were made by a human handheld device rather than a Xerox machine, Bennett said. There's also another contractor doing all the evaluation of all the machines to make sure that nothing was hooked up to the internet, that the appropriate software versions were being used, that there's no evidence of foul play inside the machines. And then a third part of the audit is kind of doing some spot checking of voter registration information to make sure that 82 people aren't voting from one address or 15 from a bacon lodge or something like that. So that's what's going on in Arizona. And of course, the Democrats are protesting. They are freaking out. They don't want the recount. They don't want the audit. You got to ask yourself why. I think we all have a pretty good idea, but that's what's going on. We've got the recount, we've got the audit, and we've got the Democrats out of control trying to stop it. Folks, that's our show for today. I hope you enjoyed it. And remember, if you're new to the show or haven't subscribed yet, regardless of platform, just search out my name, hit that subscribe button, make sure notifications are turned on. That way you can follow the show and help us grow. Thanks again for tuning in. Our next show is Friday. We will see you then. Have a great night, great day. We'll see you next time. I'm Bobby Eberle. This is the 13-Minute News Hour. Okay, friends, thanks so much for watching. And before you go, please hit that subscribe button. Hit that bell so you'll be notified. And here's a special video just for you so you can watch even more of the 13-Minute News Hour. And don't forget to check out GOPUSA.com for the best in conservative news and commentary. We'll see you next time.